Well, hello there. It's another day. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I am Bill Knight. Glad to see you here today. What is today? Tuesday?
Today. Tuesday. Yeah, I got a question to ask you.
This
applies to my buddy, Bill. Listen, because he lives near this. A huge fire erupted at the Scranton Army Ammunition Plant in Scranton, Pennsylvania, yesterday. Huge fire. This should have been a big story nationally because people say, well, it's only a little... No, it was a big fire. Let me tell you what they make at this plant. They make... I get the list here. They make M933 and M934 high explosives. They have M930 and M983 illumination shells. They make M929 white phosphorus smoke. That's nasty stuff. They make five inch naval gun projectiles and 8 inch artillery shells. This is at the armory. This is like one of the only plants in our country that make these shells. Okay,
you might remember from the beginning of the Ukraine Russian war, they were talking about running out of shells, and they were in high production.
Yeah,
and yeah, that's it. It
have
is
you
a
seen this
story.
Plant, Bill? Have you seen the Scranton plant? It can't be
from you. It's not far. I probably drive right by it when I go to the Poconos to go to the dentist. But either way. No, I haven't been to the plant. And you know what? I didn't hear anything about it on the news. It wasn't
Bill,
about.
If that were to go up, it would leave a crater the size of Rhode Island. You know, I mean, we're talking a serious... This is not like a little subsidiary plant. Apparently, this is like the plant in the country that makes the shells. And it was burning yesterday. It was they said it was a huge fire. They got it under control, and I guess they got it out.
Right.
But here's the thing. Here's the key. They don't know what caused it. They don't know how it started. Now, call me crazy. Call me a conspiracy theorist. That's
You're
okay.
Crazy and a
go ahead. Thank you.
Okay,
thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That we'll get that off the table right off the bat. Okay.
There you go. Now we got the air clear.
This thing has probably been in operation for 100 years in some form. This plant.
For a while.
Yeah.
It's as old as Joe.
They've been making shells here probably since World War I. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, all of a sudden, out of nowhere. This thing catches fire. It's a bad fire. Fortunately, they got it out. But if they hadn't gotten it out, like I said, it would have been a major problem. We're talking about, I mean, these are military shells. They have warehouses filled with them at this location. They've got gunpowder, all these different types of charges in that building. Can you imagine the explosion, by the way, salutes to the firemen who went out there and put the fire out, because they went there not knowing whether it was about to blow. I mean, it is the artillery shell plant, you know?
Yeah. Well, you can't let it blow because, I mean, Scranton and probably over this way would be no more.
Yeah.
There's that much munitions there. But, you know, you got to wonder, too, you know, the fact that it's either a great credit to the firemen, or that fire was so deliberate. They knew what they were doing. They knew it could be put out, but it was intentional for another story or another agenda, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, in other words, to say, well, we can't produce the shells out of here anymore. We're going to have to buy them from somewhere else, kind of like our gas prop, you know.
Well, I don't know. How do you justify it as a nation buying your munitions from
How do you
Another
justify
country.
Anything that we do these days?
Well, I mean, Bill, that gets to the next topic we're going to talk about. But first of all, I think it was set because when they say no cause has been determined for the fire, that says to me, someone did this intentionally. We have a lot of strangers walking around our country right now, a lot of people who we don't know who they are. I'm just saying.
Well, maybe they got a job there, you know. Lackawanna County is a Democrat county. I mean, that's, you know, They, Joe Biden, I'll bet you they in Scranton.
I'll bet you they bust a bunch of them up to Scranton. I'll bet you they got a lot of them to fly into the airport up there. You
Jim,
know?
I told you weeks ago that there were buses of them in here. They're buying them houses and doing all kinds of stuff.
Isn't that nice? How generous.
Yeah, it really is. And I mean, you know, at a time when, you know, inflation is running rampant, and you know their excuse for the inflation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the economy's so hot and out of control, it's never going to crash. Biden has done such a great job. You know, there's more jobs being generated. The money is just going woo-woo-woo. It's crazy. So everything's going to keep going up, and we're just, don't worry.
But Bill,
you'll still be making more money, and everything is going to be hunky-dory.
I watched the conservative networks. Yesterday, I watched the different news channels.
Mm.
I didn't see this mentioned anywhere. This was, I don't care what you say, I'm not stupid. This is a major story which should have been talked about, and it was just shuffled aside. Like
a lot of things are shuffled aside, you know? The only thing that's not shuffled aside is, you know, we got to get Trump, you know? And this is the biggest witch hunt that there is. Merchant even came out and said, look, you know, you miss one court date, you're going to jail.
Yeah.
Well, my son's graduation's coming up.
No, we don't care. We don't care. No.
And by the way, you should recuse yourself, Mr. Merchant. I'm not going to.
Well, let me play what Trump said when he came out of the courtroom yesterday about his son Barron's graduation from high school. Listen.
So thank you very much. We had some amazing things happen today. As you know, my son is graduating from high school, and it looks like the judge will not let me go through the graduation of my son, who's worked very, very hard. He's a great student. I'm very proud of the fact that he did so well. And I was looking forward for years to have graduation with his mother and father there. It looks like the judge isn't going to allow me to escape this scam. It's a scam trial. If you read all of the legal pundits, all of the legal scholars today, there's not one that I see that said this is a case that should be brought or tried. It's a scam. It's a political witch hunt. It continues, and it continues forever. And we're not going to be given a fair trial. It's a very, very sad thing. In addition, as you know, next Thursday, we're before the United States Supreme Court on a very big hearing on immunity. And this is something that we've been waiting for a long time. And the judge, of course, is not going to allow us. He's a very conflicted judge. And he's not going to allow us to go to that. He won't allow me to leave here for a half a day, go to D.C. and go before the United States Supreme Court because he thinks he's superior, I guess, to the Supreme Court. But we got a real problem with this judge. We got a real problem with a lot of things having to do with this trial, including the DA, because you go right outside and people are being mugged and killed all day long, and he's sitting here all day with about 10 or 12 prosecutors over what people say shouldn't be a trial. So I just want to thank you very much, but that I can't go to my son's graduation, or that I can't go to the United States Supreme Court, that I'm not in Georgia or Florida or North Carolina campaigning like I should be, it's perfect for the radical left Democrats. That's exactly what they want. This is about election interference. That's all it's about. Thank you very much.
You know what amazes me? A point of interest, having worked in broadcasting for hundreds of years like I have, there was a time when, in a situation like this, the news media would have set up a mic stand area.
I noticed that, too.
Yeah.
That audio was so poor because they did that.
They've gotten lazy. What they use is they use the microphones that sit on the cameras, you know, the shotgun mics that are on the cameras. And because it's easy, all right? Bill, there used to be a time when they would put mic stands up, they would put microphones on the stands, and they would usher the person to the microphones where they would talk and you could understand without the echo. Not anymore.
Yeah, but here's an argument, though. They had the technology back in the 50s and in the 40s. Shotgun mics, not the little cheap crap that you buy at the store for your camera. Broadcast had it, and you can still buy them.
They've been using. I got one you know, 3 feet from me
right
now.
You can chew right over the head of everybody and get that sound, and it's you get good sound.
But they're lazy today, Bill. They're lazy.
Lazy and cheap. You know, you know, how old is the technology on the RE20 that you have?
I have at least 60 years old.
Yeah,
at least
60 years old, but they still make them today. They're not cheap, Mike. They're not the most like a Neumann, but the point is they make mics to do special things. Just
You're right.
We used, you know, there's all these stories now, you know, I'm going, why are we doing all? It's nice that they're restoring all like the Texas, the drug or not that she was. It's nice that they've restored the Missouri and their museums now. But, you know, I thought about it. Even those ships, even though they're ancient, they were battleships.
Oh, I know.
And we just don't build those anymore because the ships we have, well, they have all this modern technology.
Well, you know what the story is behind that?
I can shoot it. I can sing it with a BB gun.
For example, you know? Up in New England, they have the battleship Massachusetts in Fall River, Mass. And it's a, but they maintain it. And some people say because it can be easily reconverted back into an active duty battleship. They can actually bring those out of mothballs and repurpose them in a short period of time because they've been maintained. They've been painted for years. They've been cleaned. You know, it's not like they've been left to rot, you know, like they used to.
No, they take them out of their little dry dock that they're in or where they're ported.
Yeah.
And they tow them away, and then they go and they refit the ship as if it's a new ship, repaint it top to bottom. She's seaworthy again, and she sails back in her own power. You can fire those babies up.
I think
you know,
they did that, by the way, with the Iowa for a while. I think they put one in mothballs for a while, and then they brought it out and, you know, used it for a while, put it back in mothballs.
Reagan did that.
Yeah, so it wouldn't surprise me if they do it again, if it happens that they need it, you know. But anyway, Bill, the Trump situation right now in New York it's a joke. It's a joke. I want to play Jonathan Turley. Jonathan Turley, he is a legal scholar. He's a moderate Democrat. I mean, he's not he's not a conservative, but he's on the side of justice first. He talks about on Fox yesterday how Trump is just not going to get. He can't get a fair trial. Listen.
Right.
Jonathan Turley, and I believe that, Jonathan, we have this just in, some photos from inside the courtroom. There's no rolling cameras in the courtroom, but you have this still photo, the first to come out of this historic trial that is starting down in Lower Manhattan. Jonathan, you wrote about Cicero saying the more laws, the less justice, and that you see the same here. How so?
Well, the more cases against Trump, the less justice we receive as a people. You know, the opponents of Trump would have been far better off with just one case, the Mar-a-Lago case. That's based on real law, real precedent. One can disagree with the interpretations, but it's not a reach in the sense of this case. This case is creating something. It's creating a criminal code just for Trump. You know, you have a misdemeanor whose time has expired. The statute of limitations ran out, and it was revived in this rather curious way. He's effectively arguing that Trump was filing false business records through his counsel to hide a federal crime. But it isn't a federal crime. This wasn't a campaign contribution. None of that appears to matter. And that's why a lot of us are looking at this and recoiling. This is not how the law is supposed to be. New Yorkers appear to like it this way. They elected James, who ran on bagging Trump for anything, didn't even mention what. And they now are lionizing this district attorney who's putting together what many of us consider to be an absurd indictment.
So here you are in the New York Post, a serial perjurer will try to prove an old misdemeanor against Trump and an embarrassment for the New York legal system. That perjurer is Michael Cohen. Here he was on MSNBC. Watch.
It's the same thing over and over again. Poor Donald, the victim. He's now being, you know, the target of the Biden administration. There's for all of us, the average people. Then there's those in power. And then there's Donald Trump, who seems to be able to skirt the law whenever he wants and however he wants. That doesn't, I don't acknowledge what these folks are saying.
And Politico got in on it. Michael Cohen's admitted liar. He's still going to be the star witness against Trump.
Okay. Is this normal?
Well, it was just recently that a federal judge really eviscerated Cohen and said that you are a serial perjurer and you're still gaming the system. That wasn't last year. That was just recently. And he's going to take this stand as the central witness. But what is really bizarre here is he's basically saying, put my former client in jail for following my legal advice. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of jurors be sort of scratching their head about that one. But there's also this disconnect. If you recall, Mark Elias, who was the general counsel of the Clinton campaign, was just fined. The campaign was fined by the FEC for hiding the payments, the support for the Steele dossier as a legal expense. And they were fined for that. No one was criminally charged. In this case, you're taking this misdemeanor, reviving it because it was dead, suggesting a crime that doesn't exist, and then hitting Trump with dozens of counts. Most citizens, at least outside New York, see that for what it is. It's the weaponization of the criminal justice system.
Wanted to ask you about the fact that today starts jury questions, and the Trump jury questions are going to have things like this. Have you ever attended a rally of or a campaign event for Donald Trump? Do you currently follow Donald Trump on any social media site, or have you done so in the past? And have you ever attended a rally or campaign event for any anti-Trump group or organization? What do you think of these questions?
Well, the problem is that courts don't feel comfortable saying, asking, you know, who'd you vote for? And so they're working around the edges to try to show bias. The most important thing here is to try to isolate the worst of the jurors. Those are jurors who just desperately want to be on this jury. Many people will want to be, but are prepared to lie to do so. Now, what the defense counsel has is not their veracity on these forms, but their names. That is, even though we won't see them, the defense counsel can look at social media and see if they're lying. What is troubling is that in a couple of past Trump cases, they found out after the conviction or after the trial that jurors had lied about their past political involvements. The judges refused to toss out the verdict. So you have to try to stick that landing up front to show that bias. Also, keep in mind that you only get 10 strikes as a defense counsel, but you can have virtually unlimited strikes for bias. So as you bring forth evidence of bias, it's sort of a freebie where you can try to remove some of these jurors.
12 jurors, 6 alternates. That's what you're trying to get to in the next 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I guess if you really wanted to be on it and didn't want to reveal any sort of political persuasion, you'd scrub your social media now. Or maybe yesterday, or last week.
I don't know if that'll work.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Thanks, Professor. Nice to
Thank
see you.
Jonathan Turley, that is, in my opinion, it's a done deal. They're going to stack the deck. This is something which is not coming out of upstate New York. It's not coming out of Albany. This is coming out of Washington. This is this is Joe Biden and his administration who have put this together, this attack on Trump, because you hear people say, look, in the long run, an appeal, it's going to be thrown out because it's a ridiculous case. But they don't care about the long run. They only want the short-term image. They want to see Trump going into jail. They want to see him be convicted. Heck, I was watching a program last night. It was NCIS. And they were running previews for the Stephen Colbert show. He is a swine. This guy Colbert, you just want to slap him. I don't mean that really, but he is such a despicable, vile guy. He was making fun. He was talking as if Trump was already convicted. But this is how they're doing it. See, it's not a matter. Well, they will. What do they say? Guilty by a thousand slashes. Thousand little wounds, and that's what they're trying to do with Trump. They're trying.
Well,
go ahead.
Go. I was going to say, America today is so divided, and it's been divided by the left. And if you go back to what the forefathers wanted, you know, where we had a two-party system, it is because of what's happening right now. Democrats are trying to make it a one-party system. They've already trained their minions out there to post memes like, you know, anybody that likes or supports Trump, I can't trust. Well, wait a minute.
Who wrote that?
That's a meme that's out there.
Yeah, we don't know whether these things are generated by AI.
Democratic AIs. I'm saying that is the narrative that they are pushing, which tells me, regardless of the outcome, let's say that Trump prevails and he wins, do you think it's going to stop there?
Oh, no. No. This is going to be, it's not the end, it's the process that is what they're working on. Yeah.
Now, if Biden wins, do you think that we're all going to shut up and go, okay, yeah, you were right all along. Oh, I was a bad boy. The hell I'm going to do that?
No, I think we are, if Biden wins, that just proves that it's, in my opinion, the fix is in. You got a guy who is as incapacitated as this guy is.
Well, wait a minute. You mentioned something there, and I kind of, it stuck in my mind because Trump said it too, and I had been wondering a while because Trump goes, you know, he was high as a kite, and then I started going, you know, have you noticed? Now every once in a while you see Biden without his Ray-Bans, you know, but he's always got the Ray-Bans on,
always.
And then they're talking about him signing the gun bill, and he's sitting there at his desk, the sun behind his frickin' back.
And he's got his Ray-Bans on?
And he's got his Ray-Bans on. I mean, is he 80s cool, or is he hiding something like watery eyes, and he talks real fast? And talks with a lot of confidence when he talks real fast because he's high on coke. What was found in the White House? And even... Mark Levin said there's something to this more than just Hunter. There's something to this, and maybe Trump kind of gets it too, because Trump was around in the 80s. He knows. He's seen it. He partied with the elite, and he knows what they look like. And you know, they're usually skinny too because they don't have the appetite. You know, they might like they have a
protagonist. You know, Bill, that's a good point. You don't know. With this administration, you just don't know. Vivek Ramaswamy, who was a guy who was against Trump,
I don't think he was really against him.
No, you know, he was actually out just promoting himself, which is good. Vivek had this to say about the Trump trial. Listen.
Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg's prosecution of Donald Trump and its trial begins today. What a joke. I'm against these prosecutions on principle. I think they're destructive to our country. But let's just examine the facts and the law here. Alvin Bragg effectively is prosecuting Donald Trump for making hush money payments, allegedly, to Stormy Daniels, and then paying Michael Cohen in a means that Alvin Bragg thinks is falsifying business records. Well, first of all, falsifying business records in New York is a misdemeanor, not a felony, and it falls outside of the statute of limitations, meaning it happened so far long ago that Alvin Bragg can't bring the case unless he charges it as a felony, which requires an underlying crime that he's advancing by falsifying those business records that was also a felony. Here's where the legal stretch really begins. That requires Alvin Bragg to say that Donald Trump's payments should have been made out of a campaign account. That's his theory of the case, instead of being made personally, or else it's a constructive campaign contribution. That's bunk. Think about it. Look, you've had smart people like former FEC Commissioner Bradley Smith, who has correctly pointed out that if Donald Trump did use campaign money, campaign contributions, to pay off hush money, that would arguably be an even stronger legal case to bring against him than the case they're bringing now. So in that version of the world, it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. They're going to get him going, or they're going to get him coming. It's almost as though they decided this is the person we're going to prosecute, and then we're going to figure out what we're going to charge him with after the fact. Well, guess what? That's exactly what happened. You have Alvin Bragg, a Manhattan DA, who was elected on the promise of going after Donald Trump. For what crime? We had no idea. Just the idea that they had to go after Donald Trump. This is a politician keeping his campaign promise. That is a bastardization of our legal system. That's not how we do things in the United States. And that motivation accounts for why this case is so weak and emblematic of the other prosecutions that have since followed against Donald Trump. I think Trump is going to prevail, but most importantly, I hope we move beyond this phase of our history where you have one political party that thinks it can use the legal system to prosecute its opponents. The same shoe can fit the other foot, and if we keep going down this direction, we're not going to have a country left. In the complete absence of a legal argument, even, to bring this case against Trump isn't just embarrassing to Alvin Bragg, it's embarrassing to our country. I hope Donald Trump not only prevails in this trial, but that we prevail as a country to move beyond this phase of our national history. That's what it's going to take to reunite and rebuild this nation.
That's Vivek Ramaswamy, and well said. A really smart young guy.
Yeah, and his point is basically, if you think the election is in November, you're wrong. The election is going on right now in the great stupid state of New York, where they're trying to, you've got a little kid that grew up in, well, he was until six, in Bogota, Colombia, and he came to America with his family, but I'm sure that he was taught the ways, you know, of Colombia, and he's here, and he's trying to make a name for himself, and he's heading this trial. He's got vested interest in the outcome of everything, and, you know, he's got a daughter that's made money. He is tainted. He shouldn't have this. He shouldn't be doing this. So why is he doing it? Everybody's there to get a piece of history, and I think, you know.
I got a question. It seems to me that the obvious thing is that eventually Trump is going to be proven to be innocent. After, by the way, I think.
But the stain is already there, and the damage is already done.
But my question is this. If he gets into office, should there be justice? Should these criminals, and I do think, by the way, that crooked judges and crooked prosecutors are criminals, okay? That's my opinion. Should they not go to jail? Should they not be arrested and embarrassed and thrown in jail for their crime?
You know, the Democrats have peeled the onion on the statute of limitations. So, okay,
you're going to go
after Trump on something thinly veiled. Let's sit there and, let's look at Biden with the young lady he digitized. And there has been numerous others. So Biden should be held accountable.
She was so upset, by the way, that she moved to Moscow.
Yeah, she moved out of the country. And I don't blame her, to be honest with you.
Neither do I.
So you've got that. Obama was accused of gay relationships. I'm not talking about Michelle, Michael, whatever you want to say.
You're right.
But things before. So Obama needs to be looked at and prosecuted. Well, wait a minute. There's a guy by the name of Bill Clinton.
Bill, excuse me, not for the gay relationships. That's neither here nor there. It's for the lying. It's for the lying. It's for the misrepresentation, the perjury, exactly.
Yeah, so, you know, he's guilty of high crimes there. So let's go back to Clinton. And I'm not skipping over Bush lightly. I'm just saying, you know, since we're picking side against sides here, let's look at yours in the history of everything in our lifetime. Bill Clinton. Now, we think of Monica Lewinsky in what happened there. That alone, and he lied. He lied under,
absolutely. He said, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. He said
It all depends on your interpretation of what is.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was someone else, and I can't remember her name, and I was trying to look it up. I want to say Fawn Hall, but they've scrubbed it from the internet of that secretary from Arkansas. She was a pretty girl,
right.
But that he traipsed all over. And, you know, I think she died, actually.
Broderick was another person who was abused by Clinton, rather.
Yeah, Clinton. So he should be brought up. In other words, we, as, you know, the right should sit there and say, well, now that you've peeled this onion, let's get some attorneys with cojones together and go after every stinking one of them and get them in a conservative courtroom.
And forget the statute of limitations. That doesn't apply anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so let's go ahead and lock them, not lock them up, but go ahead and put them on trial.
Absolutely.
Maybe give them a taste of their own medicine.
I agree 100%.
And you know what, Hillary, you're not out of it either. Oh, no. No. There's, what was his, Vince Foster?
But here's the thing, Bill. Should people like Letitia James and Alvin Bragg and this guy Marchand and
Once they're proven
Engeron,
that it was a... Sh- If it's proven that it was a sham, and it is, or it's known to be, then they should know, too, that on appeal, if we win on appeal, we're going after you because you're the one that spearheaded it. Because that's what we want to find out. And give them something to think about.
During World War II, during the trials, Nuremberg trials, a lot of the judges who were Nazi judges, you know, during World War II, the Nazis had trials, and they had anti-Hitler people tried, convicted, and executed. And the judges, if you saw them, they walked in to the courtrooms with robes on. They walked in, you know, behind them was the big swastika, but they walked in with all of the weight of jurisprudence behind them in Germany, and they screamed, essentially, at the defendants. And then ultimately they found them guilty and executed them. But at the end of the war, when they got these guys, they put them in jail, the judges, for being corrupt, for being criminals, for being evil. Should that not happen here? Should Marchand or Marchand or whatever his name is, should Enguerrand, that doofus of a judge, if he's proven to have some kind of a connection between himself and Washington, should he not go to jail?
Well, I think Enguerrand and Merchant or Mercheron or whatever the hell his name is, they had to share the same cell. That's what I believe, and that's just the way I believe, you know?
Yeah.
So they could have the same cell, sit there together, and, you know, Enguerrand can sit there and pose for him.
Well, it is a pretty nasty time that we're going through right now. And I don't know how Trump does it. I'm thinking to myself, he's a little older than I am. I know that things that used to not bother me at all bother me now. You know, the stress, I can feel it more. You wonder how Trump can maintain his composure and his dignity and his, I mean, he seems to be able to handle it, and I don't know how he does it. I do not know how he does it. I do think it's all being directed out of the Oval Office. It's all coming from Washington.
It is. I got to give Trump credit because, you know, the fact that he's been accused of all kinds of stuff, he stood up to it. And being accused of infidelity, whether you're innocent or guilty, even if you're innocent, it's a hard one to prove. And it's sometimes you just quit the fight, you know, and you just say, forget it.
And this
it, you
guy,
know,
because- Bill, Andrew Napolitano was on Newsmax yesterday, and he said, look, I'm a judge, and I would have given Trump no problem his day off to go to his son's graduation because he's innocent until proven guilty. So don't.
Not in a Democrat court. And you know what?
Yeah.
And this is a promise to the Democrat voting base. We're going to get Trump, and we're going to make him a felon, and you're going to get to watch him hang in the streets.
Yeah.
This is a lynching. And that there is nothing more. You want to talk about, you know, old time racism? Here you go. You know, and anybody that's playing a part in this, you know, you're stupid, you're a fool, you're a sucker, and you know what? You get what you deserve. And
you know,
I'm
Judge,
not saying that
Judge Napolitano, you know, he was a judge before. He was a TV personality, and he said he would have had no problem saying, "Look, take your day off, go to your son's graduation. We can adjust things here to accommodate you." But this guy, Marchand, he said, if you miss a day in court, you may end up in jail. That's what he said to Trump.
That's a threat.
Oh, absolutely it was a threat. This guy is throwing that threat around easier.
Do you think Barron understands that? I mean, yeah, the kid's graduating from high school, what, 17, 18?
Yeah.
And, you know, but dad can't be there. That's not a good sign.
I would hope, and I think that Barron has got an amazing mom and a really good dad, okay? And I do believe you can think what you think about Trump, but look at his children, and his children are all good men and women, and it says a lot for even under, you know, even when the marriages didn't work out, the ex-wives always had a decent thing to say about Trump.
He stepped up.
Yeah, he stepped. So, and the kids love their dad, you know. And I'm thinking that that Barron is a smart young man who knows,
and you know,
he knows the world that his dad is involved in, and I think his, you know, he would love to have his dad there, but I think he'll understand.
And I'm starting to believe, and this is totally conspiracy, but you know, his ex-wife that died, that fell down the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost wondering if there wasn't somebody there that gave her a little help down the stairs, because, you know, she would have, right now, during this trial, I'm sure she would have come forward and been on his side.
Well, that's interesting, Bill. I think there's a lot more behind the scenes going on. Much of what we're seeing right now is a performance. You're saying, what are you talking about? Let me give you an example, okay? These are just the things that have happened in our world in the past, like, couple of weeks. Some of it sounds like ancient history. Well, we had a ship on camera take down one of the East Coast's largest bridges, right? And it did it like on cue. It nailed it.
We almost had a second one do it a week later.
Yeah, but this was like right this nailed that bridge in the sweet spot and took the entire thing down in less than 10 seconds. Boom, that was it, okay? That was one thing that happened. Other things that have gone on, we had a war. Iran launched 300 plus missiles on Israel, and they all seemed to like fall into the desert. I'm just saying, you know, was that for real or was that a distraction? I'm just wondering, you know. I mean,
right, and they draw attention to things. Yeah, you know, the eclipse was a big thing, but
absolutely.
Then again, but was it as big as the news made it for? You know, what took a couple of minutes?
Well, I don't know about you, but I've lived through a number of eclipses in my life, mm-hmm. and I don't ever remember one being such a showboat. It's like there'll be an eclipse today. I know it'll be at 3 o'clock, and we watch it and go about our every day. This one, you would have thought that they were going to run, you know, the original print of Gone with the Wind in the sky, because everybody was looking up, everybody was staring at the sky, looking at the sun being blocked out by the moon. And by the way, it lasted like 3 minutes, but we were glued to the sky. Think about it.
We're going to be glued to the sky again in 5 and 6 days from now.
Why is that?
That's because, what do they call it? The Lyrid meteor shower?
Oh, see, I mean, if nobody told you about it, would we even pay attention to it?
The oldest recorded meteor shower to shine brightest the 21st and 22nd. So we'll be looking to the night skies, not watching the news when something bad happens.
Mm-hmm. That's true. By the way, getting back to the very first topic of this show, not a thing was mentioned. I didn't see a story mentioned about that fire at that munitions plant. My question is, doesn't that kind of tie into all the stuff that's going on? We had a munitions plant catch fire, and nobody knows what caused it. We had a bridge collapse, but nobody knows what caused the bridge to collapse. I mean, the ship hit it, yes, but nobody knows why the ship hit it. As a matter of fact, the FBI's on the boat right now, and they can't figure it out. We're not sure exactly what's caused this to happen, but we're checking into it, you know? We can put people on the moon, but we can't figure out why the ship ran into a bridge. I just think there's a lot being presented to us that is meant to distract us all. While all this is going on, for example, let me tell you what happened yesterday. A lot of people didn't pay attention to this, but the FISA bill, which was first it was voted down, then it was voted in, then they were going to amend it, but then they dropped the amendment and now it's passed. Yeah. Listen to what Rand Paul said. The FISA bill, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act.
Well, we need to explain what it's about.
Well, it's supposed to be for us to surveil foreign spies. Okay,
but you need warrants for that, like wiretaps.
Well, no, not with Pfizer. No, you
know, with Pfizer. Yeah, and that's that. But that's what this bill is about, and Pfizer goes through.
And people say, "Well, wait a second, what's wrong with Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act? Well, I mean, it's foreign. No. If they think that Bill Knight is talking to somebody from another country, well, they can put a tap on Bill Knight's phone.
Yeah, well, you know, we could be easily accused of sending messages to Russia because we have listeners in Russia.
That's true.
We have listeners in Ireland and the UK and Australia.
You know, that's
we're
exactly.
Foreign agents, Jim.
I know.
Oh, my gosh, for conservatism. Oh, no.
Rand Paul was talking about the Pfizer bill. Listen.
I want to also ask you about what you heard from the speaker regarding Pfizer. Can we trust government? Can we trust government to use Pfizer appropriately and legally?
Absolutely not. Americans shouldn't be spied on by their own government. The Fourth Amendment was put in by our founding fathers to protect us. Pfizer doesn't obey the Fourth Amendment. And so Speaker Johnson was incredibly wrong. He broke the tie. He voted with the Democrats. Here we have the leader of the Republicans in the House votes with the Democrats against a warrant requirement. We also have Speaker Johnson voting for the spending package, once again, with the majority of the Democrats. As I see it now, I'm not sure there's a difference between Mike Johnson being in charge and the Democrats being in charge. The debt, the deficit this year will be $1.5 to $2 trillion, and that's Mike Johnson's bill. He put it forward. He supported it with a minority of Republicans, with a majority of Democrats. This is not using the power of the purse. This is abdicating the power of the purse.
That's Rand Paul. And listen, the thing that gets me is Mike Johnson, he sells himself as being a conservative, and everyone's going, oh, he's a conservative. He sounds just like us during the press conferences. But then he goes in and he screws us, all right? So, I'm just, you know, it's like, wait a second. Is he on our side or on their side? Mike Waltz, a congressman from Florida, a veteran, he comes on camera and you would vote for this guy to be president. He's so staunch and strong. But he voted for the Pfizer bill, you know, and I'm thinking, what is going on down there? I mean, is their whole performance just to keep us in the dark like mushrooms? So, and you know what they do with mushrooms? You know what they do with mushrooms? They keep them in the dark and cover it with BS, with manure. Okay, that's what they do with mushrooms.
Well, that's how you fertilize a mushroom. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what we do. We're kept in the dark and covered with BS. You know, and these guys are just shameless, and I don't understand how. The other thing that gets me, and I've said this 1,000 times, they're so good at going out in front of the media and saying what they're gonna do. We're gonna do this, and we're gonna do that. We're gonna bring this down, and we're gonna say this, and we're gonna prove that Biden did this, and prove that Hunter did that, and we're gonna prove, and they do nothing. They don't do a damn thing. We sit here like shrubs, you know, adorning the front of a house. We do nothing. We just watch these guys lie to us. In the meantime, on the other side of the fence, they're trying desperately to destroy the one person in our country who's on our side, who seems to be standing with us. They're trying desperately to tear down Donald Trump, to destroy him. Believe me, if they could, God forgive me for saying that, if they could kill the guy, they would. If they could legally do that, they would. They hate him.
Well, I think they're going to find a way to do it. I really do. And, you know, God save America when it happens. You know, we're destined for a one-party system, one way or the other. You know, I made the point earlier that, you know, it's not over when it's over. You know, if you, this divide has been created by the Democrat left, and they're going to keep it going until they have one party rule and everybody's under their mushroom, and that's it. And it's a sad day. And I don't want to pick on the Democrat Party per se, but you have been infiltrated by evil people.
Mm. You know, Michael Moore, you know, the director, the documentarian, the leftist loon, Michael Moore. You know, he was a very lucky guy. He did a documentary about 20 years ago about General Motors, and it struck a chord, and he made a lot of money, and he became a darling celebrity of the left, and he's milked it. He's milked it. He's made a lot of money. But every cycle, this guy comes around. Every general election, he's like a I want to say perennial, but what would they call it when you come out every 4 years? Quadrennial. That's what he is. Every 4 years, Michael Moore comes out, and all of a sudden he's relevant again, and his opinion means something. He was talked to on MSNBC. By the way, how anybody wastes any of their time watching MSNBC or CNN is beyond me. But he was talking on MSNBC about how Biden risks losing the election and how Michael Moore has to double down, even triple down, on his efforts to keep Trump out of office. Listen.
The campaign is to basically save Biden from himself because of what he's done to support this massacre, to fund it, to be the bank for Israel in the slaughter of these people, that he is essentially guaranteeing that thousands and thousands of Americans are going to stay home and not vote on election day because they're not going to vote for Trump. But this is how Trump could win. Because that 150,000 he won by in 2020, Hillary lost Michigan by just 11,000 votes.
Yeah.
That's two votes on average, two votes per precinct in Michigan. That's it. That's how close this could be. What it means actually to me personally is that now I've got to double and quadruple my efforts to make sure Trump loses because Biden is working against me. Biden is working.
He's got to quadruple his efforts to keep Trump out of office. This guy, he thinks he's really important. He thinks he really makes a difference. Look at the guy is a doofus. He's not terribly smart. One of the things that you learn when you do this every day, you know, understand something. We know where we come from. Bill and I know from whence we came. We were in the media. We were in broadcasting, but we didn't do this type of broadcasting every day. This has evolved. This is something which has come along and we've gotten into because we felt, well, we have the tools to do it and we have the time to do it. And let's give it a shot. And now this is what, Bill? We've done 596 episodes logged, but we've done well over 700 episodes.
Oh, yeah. Because a year and a half.
Yeah, we didn't number them. Yeah.
We didn't, well, we numbered them, but we didn't count the weekend shows.
Right, and right.
When we started doing weekend shows, I mean, you can just sit there and say, well, there's 50 and another 50, and, you know.
Right.
You know, it's a lot.
Well, you know, we are not per se professionals at doing this, although, dare I say, I've done talk shows on radio stations, you know, in the past, and it's not alien to me, which says actually that I've had more experience doing this than Michael Moore. Michael Moore was a documentarian. He sat behind a camera and he took pictures, maybe asked a few questions, and then he spliced it all together and made some kind of a story out of it. That's what he does for a living. He doesn't even do fiction. He just does documentaries, but yet he's a darling. He's an expert. You know, this guy... go ahead, Bill.
I was just going to say, you put the hours that he's put into making a film and how long it is and maybe the hours spent, and then you look at how long our show is and the hours put into it. I think, pardon the pun, we trumped you, Mike.
Absolutely. We've done multiple documentaries. But I wanted to play something for you. You know, we mentioned this. We mentioned about this. Is it Alan Rickman? He's the actor for Reacher on television, and he came out and made these stupid comments about Catholics and about Trump supporters. Just a really dumb thing to have done. If you see this guy, he's not a bad actor. He's built like a stone wall. He must spend all of his extra time in the gym pumping iron. He's got a tremendous physique on him, but he's a jerk. You know, I said to my wife, you know, if I produce these programs, and they have a lot of money into TV shows like Reacher and all these other shows. They put millions of dollars into these series because it's not just one episode. They do 8, 9, 10 episodes. And so it's like doing 2 movies. It's a lot of money involved in doing these things. But these guys should have a clause in their contract that says, while you are involved in this program, you will not discuss politics with anybody in the media. You will not discuss politics in public for fear of losing your job. And I would say to these guys, if you talk politics in the media, you will be terminated immediately. And I will have the writers write in a new character to take your place. Suddenly, Reacher will have been reached, and he will be done. And someone else will come in and star in this episode. Every single character can be replaced. Hollywood.
Well, it's happened before.
Oh, Hollywood forgets this, Bill. They become so friggin' lazy. They forget that. Hey, listen. If the main character gets bumped off, or he does something wrong, or he loses his voice, or he's incapacitated, all you have to do is sit down for a week or two with your writers and figure out how to do away with him and bring in his twin brother from Des Moines. You know, who's actually smarter, stronger, and faster than the original star, you know? But they get lazy in Hollywood. It's like, oh, no, well, what do we do now? I don't know. The guys can't.
They go woke. They go totally woke on you, too, you know? So.
Yeah, but I wanted to play for you what Sebastian Gorka said about, I just bumped the microphone with my glasses.
Oops. Oh,
that's really good. Sebastian Gorka was talking about this guy, Alan Richman, listen.
And I was really angry this morning when I saw a story. Because, well, A, if you're in Hollywood, you really should shut up, okay? You're paid to dress up, put on makeup, and play act, okay? That's your job. If you want to get political, you might think of the consequences of getting political. My wife and I, not too long ago, finished watching the second season of the Jack Reacher TV show, which is based upon a very serious, a successful series of novels. I think they made 1 or 2 movies with Tom Cruise out of Jack Reacher. And then they hired this absolute hulk of a man. He looks a little bit weird. He's looks like a bodybuilder, a bit of a meathead, but he was perfect for the role. This individual, we've got the headline from Breitbart, Alan Richman. Reacher star Alan Richman attacks Christians who support rapist Trump. He's their poster child. Now, I presume he wants to have a third and fourth season. They've probably already filmed the third season. Well, I'm not going to watch it. No way on hell I'm going to watch it. And I'm not the only American. Because this is what this actor says about you. If you go to church on Sunday and you voted for President Trump in 16, if you voted for him in 20, if you're going to vote for him on November 5th, this is what he thinks of you in an interview he just gave. Quote from the star of Jack Reacher. Trump is a racist. Trump is a rapist and a con man. And yet the entire Christian church seems to treat him like he's their poster child. And it's unreal. I don't understand it. Christians today have become the most vitriolic tribe. It's so antithetical to what Jesus was calling us to be and to do. Well, let's stop there. Let's ignore the Trump comments for a second. So you vote Republican as a Christian, it's antithetical to Jesus. But if you vote Democrat, what are you voting for? Oh, yeah. 900,000 abortions every year by Planned Parenthood in America alone. You're voting for open borders, the rape of girls by the coyotes. Up to 60% of the women and children trafficked across the border are raped. You're voting for lawless Democrat cities. You're voting for the support of our enemies like Iran. So, Eric, is that what Christians do? Is it, are Christians meant to be pro-abortion, pro-Iran, pro-rape of young girls?
According to the modern left, this is one of the few things that grinds my gears more than anything else, is leftists like this guy and Democrats and so many others who don't believe in Christianity. You know, like, we don't believe in your fictional sky god and fake book, whatever, but we're going to tell you what you should believe as Christians. I cannot stand that.
And this guy allegedly calls himself a Christian, and then he says, the Christians who vote for Trump? Really? Let's just put that text up back on so everybody can see what this person said in his interview. That Trump is a rapist and a con man? What about Clinton? He actually raped women. There are actually women who have said and still say for decades that he raped them. Are you voting for the Democrats who had no problem with that? And we're the ones who've become the most vitriolic tribe? It's peculiar that there seems to be no problem for this Hollywood star when it comes to the vitriol, the vituperation of Democrats. Your president, I presume he voted for Biden. Your president, Mr. Richardson, have called half of America extremists. His FBI is surveilling Catholics who go to Latin Mass. We can't give the full details, but Jeff, you, what did you see with regards to this actor? Was it a former SEAL said something about him on Twitter?
Yeah, he said, let me see if I can clean this up. He said, you're not a tough guy, you just play a tough guy, so something
beep,
off.
So beep off, right? Yes. And who was that? Was that Rob O'Neill?
That was a real tough guy.
That was a real tough guy.
And by the way, that actor has bipolar.
I know. The rest of the interview, he talks about how depressed he gets and bipolarity. And it's like, yeah, you're an actor, okay? We really don't need to know that, okay? Shut your pie hole about your mental problems and your political views. Keep doing your play acting.
You know, if I were the producers of that series right now, yeah, I would go out and find an actor who is basically a double for this guy, and I would cast him as the new lead Reacher for this series. Even if they've shot the episodes already, you can go back and do close-ups, and you can do overdubs, and you can eliminate this guy from the the series.
Wash him out. Yeah, take him out, and that's it. He's done. He gets no residuals because you got paid for what you did, and it wasn't good. You suck, so get out of here.
Yeah,
and you get no residuals. Yeah,
and you know, people say, "Wait a second, how can we live without Alan Ritchson as the Reacher?"
You lived without him before, didn't you?
Well, you'd be amazed. You get some good actor in there who wants the part and will keep his mouth shut. But see, it won't happen because I think it's on, for some reason, I want to say it's on a Warner, it's on like a CNN affiliate network. Maybe I'm wrong. So, and if that's the case, then, the networks are politically correct. They will go with what they have. Go ahead. I was just going to say they think people have a short memory. They won't. They'll still watch it, no matter what Richardson says. They'll still watch the series. I won't watch it. I'm done. Screw it.
Yeah,
it's done.
You know, and I don't like the politicization of movies and programs and shows that are out there. You know, we were talking earlier about going after the infidelity and the wrongs and the past audio piece. You even mentioned the Clintons, like we did.
Right.
But going after them, well, you need to go after the Hollywood too itself and sit there and go, you know, you have programmed this mush into the minds of John Q. Public. You're guilty too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, Hollywood is a cesspool of crap out there. I mean, it is literally filled with corruption and perversion.
It's been a long...
Perversion and dare I say, even child sex trafficking.
Yeah, it's been a long road of of programming America and getting us into the mess we're in. And I think all the players need to be held accountable. But we got to get past this election first. And they'll say, see, dictatorship. We're under a dictatorship. What are you talking about? We got Mr. Tater in the office now. What's his first name?
Joe.
Oh, Joe.
Joe Tater.
Joe Tater. Joe Tater. Change your name, Joe, to match your personality.
Yep. Anyway, we're almost done. Things to pay attention to today. I mean, we're being distracted. Everything we look at basically is a distraction. I really believe that. I it's hard to imagine that they'd be doing this to us. But I mean, God, we've had a bridge knocked down on camera. We've had yesterday's fire at the munitions plant. I still can't get over that. I can't get over the fact that I do think what happened was that the fire company was so good at what they did, they got it out before it was able to become the spectacle that they had hoped it would be. I think the fire company got there and really did their job. They were probably much more sophisticated and well-trained than the bad guys expected, and they got the fire out before it blew Scranton off the map. But I do think that it was meant to do something like that. When they say, well, we don't know what caused the fire. The plant's been there for 100 years, but and this is the first time that's happened. I don't know how that happened. You know, I think there's a lot more to that story. And I wish we would get some honest answers. But I think we're in a world right now filled with a lot of lies and corruption. So
it's not going to get better.
No, it isn't going to get better. I'm glad it didn't blow up, because I think you would have felt it at your house, Bill. Holy smokes, that's right down the road. You see where the atomic watchdog chief is worried that Israel, when they strike back at Iran, might hit some of Iran's nuclear facilities. I mean, wow.
Nuclear. Yeah, well, yeah. I guess they have reactors for power, but they've got weapons grade uranium there. We know that, and they say they're not going to make.
Was there any worry about what the missiles might hit when they launched 300 plus missiles at Israel over the weekend? They were set off like fireworks.
Question is, is Israel going to retaliate? The answer is, yeah, it's just when. You know, it almost sounds biblical, only they know the time, place that it's going to happen. But I can guarantee you, it's going to happen.
You know, Bill, they'd be crazy to say, well, we're going to attack this afternoon. You know, Israel won't do that.
It won't be telegraphed. It'll come like a thief in the night. Boom.
Just when you think they're not going to do it, bang.
Gotcha. You
know? Yep.
Yeah, so, and they're going to do that. And, you know, do you blame them?
Because
they're going, well, you know, it shows that we wanted to show our resolve that we're going to retaliate for something that you retaliated against. And we deliberately didn't, you know, take out stuff.
You know, I had a 4-minute cut, and I'll play it tomorrow, from an Iranian woman who actually grew up in England. And she explains, if you are on the side of Iran in this regime, you're not helping the Iranians at all. You are not helping them at all. You are actually hurting the good people of Iran by supporting this regime.
Oh, yeah. The majority of Iranians want this regime out. They don't like it. You know, I want to think that people everywhere are all good. And, you know, when it gets down to it, you know, but we have leaders that are bad and corrupt.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, don't believe in your leaders anymore. You know, hold them accountable. And if they don't meet your muster, get them the hell out. And you know, you got Democrats who go, they are so brainwashed about Trump bad, Trump bad, Trump bad. No, Biden not good, but Trump bad.
Yeah, you know.
Biden not good, but Trump bad. Biden might be an idiot, but Trump bad.
Nothing is more third world than what's happening right now with President Trump with all of these cases. We are a third world country. If you ever say, well, we're the standard for the world, we are the leaders of the free world, we are the shining example on the hill, forget it. The Democrats have destroyed that image. We ain't that no more. We're about as bad as the thirdest of the third world, you know? I mean, holy smokes. We're almost fourth world, if there is such a thing. friends, that's about it for us for today. We remind you, you can contact us by going to our website, which is www.itsanotherday.com or www.jimandbill.com. We got all of our shows there. We got all of our contact information, phone number, email address. We got everything there. But one thing we don't have there, one thing you will not find there, but you will find here, is our patented and very specific ending to the show.
Well, it's the script that I think Biden is going to steal if he loses the election, and he will.
Uh-huh.
And it's, but I won't say it like Biden does.
No.
No. No, I have to say it with some oomph.
Yes, and clarity.
So with the oomph in it, hasta la vista, baby! We're out of here!
This is CRN America.